18, Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers and Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones dropping out of the Pro Bowl. Stanford running back Bryce Love is returning to school for his senior season. I'm Dan Beyer.
At Wesleyan Metals, retirees live more, worry less. The Life Plan community offers a rewarding lifestyle and the peace of mind of healthcare if needed. Call Wesleyan Metals at 440-234-9400 or visit wesleyanliving.org.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930 on the down low. Overnight, cloudy. Low near 5. Cloudy Wednesday. High of 23.
Right now, it's cloudy. It's 10.
It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bullbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, 15 minutes after 5 o'clock. Happy that you've made us a part of your afternoon and into your evening. Andy Bullbarch and Matt Douglas with you for another 45 minutes or so. Well, you heard it here last night on AM 930 WEOL. The Cleveland Cavaliers fall to the Golden State Warriors for the second time this season. Things were looking pretty good for three quarters for the Wine and Gold, but boy, things kind of came apart and that final quarter last night. And here to talk to us about last night's game and the Cavaliers moving forward, Rick Nolan, Cavs beat reporter for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Want to get into what happened to the Cavs offensively in that fourth quarter last night. I think poor shot selection was a big part of it. That's a byproduct of a number of different things. What did you see last night, Rick? What was it that forced the Cavs to come apart in that fourth quarter last night?
Well, combination of factors. Missed some open looks. Rushed some looks early that weren't probably the best shot they could get. I think you got to give Golden State some credit. They switch every pick and do a really good job of defending the three-point line, and the Cavs were terrible from there. We saw some isolation basketball creep back in there again where, you know, one guy had the ball for the bulk of the possession. And you know, that was happening even when LeBron was out of the game. Isaiah Thomas dominated a couple possessions, didn't have one of his better games. Not a shock. He hasn't been playing that long. And, you know, Golden State's good. And some nights you miss shots you normally make. I think that was a decent chunk of it. And I think the other chunk of it is the Warriors are just an extremely underrated and underappreciated defensive team. And they locked down pretty well. And, you know, as a scorer's game through three periods, I think it was 93-91, and the Warriors maintained that pace and the Cavs didn't. And, you know, the Warriors ended up beating Cleveland for the seventh time in their last eight meetings.
Are you buying into the idea that this is just another typical January for the Cavs and that they're going to be able to fix these problems moving forward? Or do you think this year is different? Because you look at a lot of the things that they've experienced over the course of the last few weeks here, there are a lot of causes for concern, primarily what they're doing or more or less what they're not doing on the defensive end.
Yeah, you know, I argue with myself on that. I don't know if you're a Facebook guy, Andy, but they have a app on there where you're able to see your memories from previous years and what you've posted. For the last week, I've been looking at stuff from 2015, 16, and 17, and I was equally up in arms then, and then things turned out okay. So maybe they will again. History tells us that you know, there's a good chance they will, but you also can't lie to yourself on what you're seeing out there right now, and they're not playing very good basketball. Their defense is worse than it's ever been. I, for the longest time, thought, you know, it was due to just a simple lack of effort and commitment to that end of the floor. I still think that holds a pretty decent chunk of water to that theory. But I'm also starting to think, you know, maybe this team just isn't very good defensively. So time is going to tell, I guess. You know, you can point out five positives, and then you can come right back with five negatives. It was less than a month ago that this team had won 18 and 19, and UI and everybody else was talking about this being the deepest and most talented team that the Cavs had had in LeBron's career here. And nobody was really arguing with us for putting that forth. And now we're seeing maybe, you know, some holes. The talent is there. What's kind of perplexing is they played their absolute best basketball when they had their least amount of players available. Tristan was out. IT wasn't back. Rose and Shump weren't playing, but they less became more for them in that instance because they found a rhythm. They found teamwork. Basketball is kind of a unique game in that while there's no substitute for talent, if that talent doesn't come together in the form of great teamwork, it doesn't always work. And you know, Jose Calderon had games where he was fantastic. He had games where he was just kind of not hurting them. But they were winning with him because he filled a niche on that team, and the stars were being stars. Now it's kind of like you don't know what IT is going to show up from game to game. Kevin Love had 10 points in a terrific first quarter last night and had 7 the rest of the way. You know, LeBron's been forced to give up the ball a little bit to let IT do his things, and I think all those things are still kind of working their way out. I don't know where this is all going to lead. They certainly have not been good now for the better part of a month, and they've been bad some nights defensively. Actually, they've been horrific some nights defensively. But then there's been, you know, for a team that used to be able to score 100 points in its sleep, they've had a decent chunk of games in these last 2 to 3 weeks where they haven't even done that. So I don't know. I mean, the optimist in me says that, things are going to be fine and that they've done this whole rigmarole 3 years in a row and they're doing it a fourth now. The negative person in me says, they're no longer a lock to even get out of the Eastern Conference. So I guess we're going to just have to wait and see how it all plays out. And, you know, do they make a change between now and February 8th is another, $64 million question. I don't know the answers to that right now. And I think that anybody who really claims they do, it's just giving you an opinion, because you can argue factually either way and present a case, but you just don't know.
Well, that leads me into my next question. You know, I think the pressure was always going to be on Kobe Altman to do something regardless of the outcome of last night's game. But as you take a look at some of the names that are consistently thrown out there, I think the thing I always go back to is, which of these guys are realistically attainable, and how long would it take for these guys to come in and make an immediate impact? So just to throw a few names out there, you hear about Marc Gasol, you hear about Paul George, you also hear about DeAndre Jordan. And when you hear names like that, which guys do you think are realistically attainable that could come in and give them a fighter's chance against Golden State?
DeAndre Jordan kind of makes the most sense to me, but the Clippers are playing some really good basketball right now, and I don't think they're going to just give him away. The difficult thing with the position the Cavs are in, and it's always been that way, is they have to be short-sighted because of LeBron's always up in the air situation, and that's not a criticism of LeBron. He's entitled to, he's always played the contracts out that he signed, and he's the most powerful player in the league in that regard. So he's gonna look out for him. Unfortunately for the Cavs, is it kind of hamstrings him a great deal, because you know, they have to make a move right now. Well, I guess they don't have to, but the choice is make a move right now that might, if there's no guarantee, that might increase your chances to win a title this year. But if it doesn't, it may make you even worse long term, if that makes any sense. I mean, you know, they always for the fourth straight year now, they're playing for the now, which, you know, is a nice thing to be able to do. But, you know, you also should be able to, in an ideal world, not mortgage your future because of an uncertain status of the best player in the league. But, you know, that's the hand Kobe's been dealt. And of all those players, I don't think there's any one of them that you can say, do this and you win a championship. I think the Warriors are that good that there are no guarantees in that. And, you know, there's a possibility that you're doing that thing for the chance to win a title and you don't. And then you've had a half-season rental of a guy who's not even going to be on your team the following season. So it's a big quandary for Kobe Altman. You know, I thought he actually did a great job at the Kyrie trade. But I thought Jay Crowder was everything the Cavs needed on this team. I thought he would be a junkyard dog, even a semi-dirty player, a guy who was a nonstop hustler, a tenacious defender, even a semi-dirty player. It would be kind of welcomed on this team, by me at least. And it turns out he's been nothing more than a poor rebounder, very average defender, and on offense, nothing more than a guy that stands in the corner and shoots a couple threes a game and misses 70% of them. So that made sense, and it didn't work out. There's no guarantee that anything they do or don't do is going to work out. And I think, you know, what's more difficult is, you know, you kind of want LeBron's input in this. What do you need? But you also would really love to know, you know, what are your plans, LeBron? You know, if we do this and it doesn't work, then we're going to have less than we could possibly do for you if you came back next year. So it's a very difficult position Kobe Altman is in. And, you know, these next 3 weeks are going to go a long way towards determining how this season finishes out.
Rick, how long can the Cavs wait to make a move if they're going to do something here?
Well, the deadline's February 8th. You know, we all know they have that Brooklyn pick,
yeah.
Which has turned out to be not nearly as valuable as we thought it would be. I mean, I thought at the time the trade was made, there was a good chance it was going to be a top three pick. Now, I don't have the standings in front of me, but it's probably going to end up being in that 8, 9, 10, 11 range, mm-hmm. because suddenly the Nets are winning games. Now, that works both ways. That pick is, if the Cavs keep it, is, you know, not going to get them, you know, Bagley from Duke or the kid from overseas or the point guard from Oklahoma. It might get him a good player, but, you know, if you're picking 8 and 9 in this draft, you can miss as well as you can hit. They could keep it and go that route. But the flip side to that is it's not nearly as valuable to the team you might want to trade it to at the deadline. You know, if Brooklyn was 9-35 right now, that pick would have a lot more value than it does. A team would be trading for a 25% chance of getting the number one pick in the draft and probably no worse than the third or fourth pick. So, you know, that's another factor that enters into it. And then there's the whole salary thing and the luxury tax penalties and and all that, because the player, presumably, that they would be taking on is probably going to be making a pretty good chunk of change. And it, in an ideal situation, it's someone they would probably want to keep beyond this year, i.e. Paul George, you know, who's going to be looking for a max contract. So, you know, you can dump some salary pretty easily on this team if a team is willing to just take guys like Shump, and, you know, and a few others, maybe even Tristan, because you'd have to get a lot of salary to get some of these big guys in. But then you lose your pick, your negotiating power for the next couple seasons. And if you don't re-sign that player, then where are you? My hunch is that they're going to do something prior to the deadline. I don't know that it's going to be the blockbuster that most fans want it to be. It's just not real easy to get a Paul George or to get a DeAndre Jordan or you know, any of the names that are bandied about. And remember, too, that, you know, there's a bunch of other teams in this league that are looking to get better. So it's not just the Cavs negotiating for those players, potentially. It's, you know, it's five or six other teams that think they have a decent shot this year if they add one of those guys. So you can want to do something or you can not want to do something, but just wanting to do is no guarantee that you're going to be able to make it happen, I guess, is the best way to sum it up.
Rick, we'll cut you loose on this, and I know this is something we've talked about before, but, boy, you have to think that J.R. Smith is really beginning to run out of chances if he's not run out of them already. And you had to figure this was coming. We talked about it yesterday with Tim Alcorn and Scott Zarrillo.
I like the guy.
I think we all do. It's hard not to love what J.R. has done, especially off the floor. But on the floor, I just don't know what he offers anymore. You tweeted about it yesterday. He's continued to pass up wide open looks beyond the arc, and he's doing that continually.
He and Jay Crowder are the two biggest disappointments by far to me to this Cavs season. I just talked about Jay Crowder, but you know, I long for the days when JR missed so many shots he was terrible, because I knew that was the JR who was going to make seven threes the next game. This JR, for going on two seasons now, he's not even done enough to be terrible. He is invisible. He passes up shots. He never rebounds. Assist numbers are low. He's gone from a workaholic defender to one of the, you know, by the statistical data that people use, one of the worst defensive guards in the league. I honestly don't know why he's starting. And I could take that a step further and say I don't really even know why he should be playing. He's doing so little. I tweeted last night that it would be nice if they could find a way to light a little fire under the belly of J.R. and Jay Crowder. I still think there might be a chance with Jay Crowder. I think the adjustment for him has been way more difficult than he or the Cavs envisioned it would be. With J.R., I hope I'm wrong, but I'm about to the point where I've given up hope that he's going to be any different than the player he's been for most of last season and all of this season. That's kind of been a completely unimpactful, empty minutes guy. And I like him. I mean, he's a great guy to talk to, but he's just not getting it done. And it coincides with when he got the big deal. You know, $52 million in the pocket. While you think you're going to remain as hungry, you know, maybe he got paid, and you know, without him even knowing it, maybe he lost a little fire there. That's the only real reason I can come up with. You know, last year we gave him a lot of benefit of the doubt because of the premature birth of his daughter and the tough times there and the injury, but you know, this season has been more of the same, and you know that coincides with getting the deal, and he hasn't been productive since. it's harsh, but, you know, if you watch these games like we all do, I don't know how you can watch them and come to any other conclusion. He just hasn't been very good at all.
Well, hopefully the conclusion is different for the Cavaliers on Thursday when they take on the Orlando Magic. They'll tip it at 7 o'clock. Rick, as always, we appreciate the time very much.
All right, thank you very much.
That's Rick Nolan, Cavs beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Great, great stuff, as always. We need to step aside and take a break. Matt and I will come back in just a few on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
United Way of Greater Lorain County needs you this tax season. Become a volunteer tax preparer and get the IRS-certified training at no cost. Help thousands of low-income workers in Lorain County this tax season. To get started, visit LorainCountyFreeTaxPrep.org.
Every Thursday evening at